HarperCollins presents The Secret Pianist by Andy Newton. Read by Mary Galloway. Prologue. Somewhere over France. The pilot had been trained to fly his RAF Whitley over enemy territory at night, memorizing the bends of the French coastline, the railways, and the location of the villages while trying to avoid German emplacements. He was prepared for almost everything that night, except for a change in the weather. Thick clouds blanketed the moon, dangerously concealing the cliffs along the shore and threatening not only the crew's lives, but the 50 special agents he was ordered to drop over Belgium. It didn't take long before the pilot had flown off course, lost above enemy territory with only a vague idea of where they were, when anti-aircraft fire popped against the fuselage. Tink, 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 tink. As the pilot struggled to keep his crew alive and the aircraft steady in the air, he got annoyed with himself for even flying at all. Why was he taking such risks for pigeons? Pigeons, indeed. He'd had quite the discussion with his supervisor about the birds before he'd taken off from the airfield at Newmarket. Nobody at the Air Ministry thought messenger pigeons would win the war. Nobody. He'd heard the few pigeons that survived previous missions had flown back with hand-drawn cartoons and personal messages to family, but no hard, usable intelligence. Definitely not information that was worth his life or his crew's, he'd decided. He shouted to one of the crewmen in the back. Dump the cargo. But we don't know where we are, sir, he answered. We're turning around, the pilot said, hands white as chalk gripping the yoke. And I'm not taking those birds back up again. Dump the bloody things. A barrage of enemy bullets punched holes in the wing. Now, he barked. The crewmen pushed the pigeons out of the plane as the enemy fired. All 50 of them, individually packaged in tiny bird boxes with parachutes like agents of war. Rest in peace, you poor little buggers, he said as they spiraled toward their doom. Northern France, April 1944. Chapter 1. Every step I took down the rickety old stairs sounded like knuckles cracking in the silence of the night. I winced, wondering if my neighbours could hear across the road, but it was freezing and the warmest shawl I had was downstairs. I tried to walk a little softer, squeezing behind my piano and pulling the shawl by the collar from the back of the chair. I often wished for an electric heater on these cold coastal nights, but we couldn't afford electricity for heat every night, especially in April. I slipped the shawl over my shoulders, trying to remember when I'd bought it new. That corner shop in Paris on Boul' Mich'. I felt a small thread of comfort, remembering the life that once was, running my hands up and down my arms for warmth, and feeling the cottony yarn when the front door snapped open and closed. My eyes sprung open. Outside air breezed over the black lumps of furniture, prickling my cheeks. My heart sped up, hearing the soft pad of footsteps move across the shadowy parquet floor and down the old cellar stairs. My sister Simone was asleep upstairs, and Martine would never be so delicate. She didn't know how to tiptoe, and that's what scared me. We'd had intruders before. Bad French, who knew there wasn't a man in the house, must have come back to steal whatever jewels the Germans had yet to take. That's what everyone called the collaborators. Bad French. The good French kept to themselves and would never do business with a German. I lit a candle, walking the few steps through the main salon to the cellar. A crash under the floor shook me with a gasp. Glass and falling crates? I followed the noise with my eyes, knowing whoever it was had walked the length of the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?